Well, God bless you. Please be seated. Come on, let's get into this. What a great morning. Is this thing working? It's all okay? Wow, that's oh, I get two of them. Thanks. Fantastic. It's great to see you this morning. What a great morning. And here, Bobby, your testimony. I'd like to hear more of that. And these guys here and what happened yesterday, was it the baptism? Fantastic. That was so exciting. And that guy over there, Oscar, is he an Italian? Is he Italian? Okay. Well, I never would have guessed that. But what a great morning. Praise God. And we want to get right into the Word of God this morning. And look, don't go to sleep, okay? Wherever you are, I'm watching very carefully. I heard about this teacher and a new class, and he came to the classroom, and he took a tennis ball, and he put it on the desk in front of him, and he started to teach, and the kids wondered what this tennis ball is all about. And, you know, this was going on for a few days. Every day, tennis ball on the table. And he came in this next day, put the tennis ball on the table, and this student started to nod off to sleep. So with pinpoint accuracy, he picked up the tennis ball, he threw it through the air and hit the young guy right on the head and woke him up. And the student started to recognize what the tennis ball was about. Okay, but the next day he came in, he didn't have a tennis ball, he had a cricket ball, okay? And he put the cricket ball right on the table. So watch out this morning. Don't you dare go to sleep, because what I'm going to share with you, and I've been praying about this message, this isn't one that I haven't dug out from out of the drawer somewhere. No. I just felt that, God, what's the message for Sunday morning? You know, that's the key thing. I believe this is the message that we need to be proclaiming in Australia, and in fact, all around the world, in the Western church today, because it's so vitally important. The King is coming, and we've got to get ready for the King to come. So I'm going to read from Matthew's Gospel, and we're reading from chapter 24. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Let's have a prayer before we go into the Word of God today. Let's ask God to speak to every one of our hearts. And this is the time to open your heart. If my fist is closed, it can receive nothing. If I open it up, I can receive something. This is our time to receive something from God. Open your heart this morning, just listening to the Spirit of God. Because I believe with all my heart, brothers and sisters, that Jesus Christ is coming again very, very soon. We know we've been saying this for years, but let me share with you some of the things this morning why I believe that. And I pray that we're going to get ready, that we're going to bring in the harvest. We're going to see a mighty revival of God's Spirit in this city, in this state, and through this nation. We want Queensland to become Kingsland. We want the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to reign in this state. And so we're going to ask that we really pray and ask God to speak to all of our hearts this morning. Father, we pray for every one of us here that you would speak to all of our hearts. Lord, we love you. We pray that as we share from your word right now, that you would speak to us all. Because, Lord Jesus, we ask it in your great, your powerful, and your mighty name. And all the people of God said, amen. We're reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, and I'm reading from verse 32. Listen carefully. Then learn this parable from the fig tree. The fig tree speaks of Israel. When its branches have already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that the summer is near. So you too, when you see these things, recognize that he is near, even at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day and hour knows no man, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but my Father only. So you can't speculate. We're not sure. We don't know the day or the hour, but we do know the seasons. He's given us the seasons. A third of the Bible is prophecy. It's So it's just praying laziness that we don't really understand what's happening in our world today. But listen carefully. For the coming of the Son of Man will be like in the days of Noah. That's what I want to speak about this morning. The days of Noah, what are they like? It says this, for as in those days before the flood, though eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will it be the coming of the Son of Man. So let's get ready for it. The coming of the Son of Man. Let's really ask God to speak to us this morning, because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, and that coming again is soon. How will Jesus Christ come? How will the King come? What it's going to be like? Well, Jesus Christ is coming personally. He's coming literally. He's coming visibly. He's coming suddenly. He's coming unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. He's coming dramatically. It's going to be dramatic. It's going to be glorious when he comes again. He's coming triumphantly as King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's coming finally, and he's coming certainly. But what does this mean for us? Well, firstly, we should learn of his coming. We should live for his coming. We should be looking for his coming. And then too, we should be longing for his coming. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come and right all the wrongs that are in the world today. Let me give you three simple metrics to gauge if we are in the last times. This is so important. There's chronos time. Minutes, seconds, days, hours, months, years, chronos time. But then there's the kairos time, when God intervenes in the affairs of man. I believe with all my heart, brothers and sisters, that we are in those last days. So we've got to be looking around. We've got to be seeing what's happening. And of course, the greatest indication, I believe, that we are in the last days and that Jesus Christ is coming soon is Israel. May 14th, 1948, Israel were back in the land, and Israel became a nation in its own right. I've been to Israel several times. We've filmed there. We did an Easter special in Israel. I went into the Temple Institute, where they're bringing all the garments, all the vessels that they need for temple worship. We've been speaking about the temple, singing about the temple today. But all of those things are being prepared right now for temple worship in those last days. Isaiah 66, verse 8. Listen, who has ever heard of such things? Who has ever seen things like this? Can a country be born in a day and a nation brought forth in a moment? Well, that happened in May 14th, 1948. In one day, Israel was recognized by the world, a nation in its own right. Ezekiel 36, 24. For I'll take you out of the nations. I'll gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. Oh, listen to it. They're coming back into their land. I was walking through the streets of Tel Aviv one time, and at the traffic lights there, I heard so many languages from different places and all over the world. Jeremiah 23, verse 8. They will say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the descendants of Israel up out of the land of the north and out of the land of the countries where they have been banished, then they will live in their own land. Jeremiah 31, 8. See, I brought them forth from the land of the north and will gather them from the ends of the earth. And so they're all coming back into the land. Brothers and sisters, listen. It's happening right before our eyes, and we need to be ready. But then too, and we haven't got time this morning, I wish we had, but then there's the Ezekiel war, Ezekiel 38, 39. It's going to be a great war. This is not Armageddon, but it's a great war that's going to happen. It's going to be all around Israel, and it's going to be the day of Israel's conversion. One of our brothers was praying this morning before we had the service about Ezekiel and the dry bones in Ezekiel 37. They're the dry bones, and then the flesh was coming on the bones. But then the spirit was going to be breathed into that body. That's going to happen in a coming day when this battle really happens, when the whole of Israel is going to be turning back to God. But look at it today. Look at the Middle East. Look at what's happening with the ring of fire, all these nations with their rockets all around. Russia, Iran, Turkey. We see what's happening in Afghanistan. Afghanistan, what a tragedy. $90 billion of equipment was left behind by the Americans. 208 aircraft, 75,000 armored vehicles, 200,000 drones, 60,000 guns, 100,000 night vision goggles, 170 tanks, and all that data and that the Chinese are sweeping into to pick up on. Bundles of cash, 22,000 Humvees, 42,000 trucks, 169 armored personnel carriers, four C-130 transport planes, many fixed-wing aircraft, 350 combat helicopters, 358,000 assault rifles, 68,000 machine guns, all just left there. All of that weaponry. And they're using it. Look at the Taliban right now and what's happening in Afghanistan right now. All happening before our very eyes. Thank God for Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse. They've been getting hundreds of believers out of Afghanistan at the moment. And brothers and sisters, if ever there was a time when we need to be praying for the Christians in Afghanistan, it is right now. Pray for them, because we know that they're going to be under tremendous persecution. Hamas is stirring up in Lebanon. I noticed that on the news just yesterday, didn't you? And, of course, they're using that as an excuse. They've got 35,000 in Lebanon, 35,000 field troops, 250,000 rockets. And the Israelis saying it's not if they come, but when they come. They've got the Iron Dome, of course, and that's about 90% effective from bringing down the rockets that are coming into Israel. But Hamas have got 250,000 rockets just pointed towards Israel. Brothers and sisters, this is it. We need to be ready for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, there's globalism. And we see what's happening there, the Great Reset, trying to bring the whole world as a one world government. They're going to be looking at all of that. So all of these signs are converging. Truly it is the days of Noah. Now, if you go through Genesis 5 and 6, you'll see the signs in the days of Noah. Let me give you to a few of them. Firstly, there's going to be spiritual decline. Genesis 6, 5, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all of the time. It was just evil. Even their thoughts. And my precious sisters, listen, pray for your husbands as they go out to work every day. They've got to listen to the vilest language, the filthy stories. Pray for them, because they've got to come home to a wife and their family, and they've got all this stuff that's been thrown at them all of the day. That's exactly what it's like. You go into a high school and you have to watch every word and every phrase, because the kids will turn it into some dirty, smutty little remark. You know, that's how we are today. The television and all that's happening to us. Spiritual decline, we see that happening. We see so much spiritual decline in our world today. And I thank God that God's giving to you here in this church visions and dreams to reach out, because it's only the gospel. It's the gospel that's going to change this nation. It's not going to be Canberra. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sins and I will heal their land. That's the dirt. That's the physical land. That's what we need today. We need that visitation of the Spirit of God. But then too, there's going to be social dilemma. They had a population explosion. We're seeing that today. A billion people every 11 years are born into the world. 800 million are hungry every day in the world. Increasing crime. What does it say in Genesis 6:11? These people were incredibly intelligent. Rather, it says this, get the verse right. The earth and all was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. And we're seeing violence that just escalates so easily. Look at what happened in America. Whole shops were just smashed and looted. It's just under the surface. We think there's this veneer of, civility, but underneath that, you have this violent heart of people in our world today. Genesis 6:2, then the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took their wives of all which they chose. So there's shameless depravity in those last days. The sons of God, that's the godly line of Seth. The daughters of men, that's the ungodly line of Cain. And they compromised. And brothers and sisters, this is no time for us to compromise. Don't compromise in your life. You young guys and others as well, don't compromise in your life. It's all out for Jesus or it's nothing. Don't compromise. Don't be friendly with the world, James 4:4. Don't love the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things which are in the world. The love of the world, the love of God is not in us. Don't conform to the world. Romans 12:2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then to be separated from the world. Yes, we've got to live in the world, but we don't have to be go like the world today. Otherwise, you're being condemned with the world today. And of course, there's pornography. This is shameless depravity. Pornography. Listen, watch what you're watching on the internet. Years ago, you could sneak into a newsagent and buy maybe a pornographic. But today, just a two or three presses of the button and you're into pornographic sites. Men, listen, this is one of your greatest temptations. And you've got to be careful about this all the time to keep your mind pure. David said, let thine eyes look straight on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Make sure that you're making a covenant with your eyes today. You know, because, you know, God's going to say that's enough. It says this, Genesis 6:3, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Yes, God says, yes, you can do what you're doing. You can live in your depraved state, but I'm only going to give you 120 years. It's all, and it's going to be closing time. One said one time, God is going to step down from heaven with his big ring of keys, and he's going to say, gentlemen, it's closing time. It's terrible when the Spirit of God ceases to speak to a person. Read Romans chapter 1, where they turned their back upon God and God gave them over. God gave them over. God gave them over because they didn't listen to the Spirit of God. My brothers and sisters, it's a terrible thing when we shut off the Spirit of God working in our life. Maybe you've come this morning, you're resisting God and you're pushing God out of your life. Listen, open your heart. Allow the Spirit of God to come into your life and minister in your life and change your life. Because the Spirit of God is here this morning wanting to change your life. But it's a terrible thing when God ceases to speak to your heart. I think of Jesus when he stood before the judges and he answered them not a word. It's a terrible thing when God stops speaking to your heart. Oh, I pray that that will never happen. My spirit shall not always strive with man. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, if you've never fully given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the moment. This is the morning to step over, give your life to Christ. There's scientific discovery. We won't get into it. But there's engineering. It says Tubal Cain, he was in the smelting of iron. Engineering, we see incredible feats of engineering today. Economics, Jabal was the farmer. He was the businessman. We see the economic situation in the world today. It's going to be the rich get rich and the poor are going to get poorer. There's entertainment, Jubal. It was given over to music. We see what's happening with the entertainment industry today, the filth and the pornography, the garbage, the language that is coming out of Hollywood and many of the other movies today. There's going to be strong delusion. God's going to send them strong delusion. There's going to be a lot of secularism in the world that's going to happen in the last days. Matthew 24:38, as in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered into the ark. But there's going to be some devotion. It's going to be, and thank God that there are those who are passionately devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 2:5 says this: He did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others. And that's what we need today. We need the preaching of the Word of God. That's what we need today. It was Wesley and Whitfield, when England was at its lowest with all the gin shops and their whole of society was being destroyed. France was going through the bloodbath of the French Revolution because they listened to the teaching of Voltaire, the humanism and atheism that he was preaching. And so France was destroyed and is still feeling the effects of that today. But thank God for Wesley, John Wesley, and George Whitefield, who went up and down the length of Great Britain just preaching, preaching, preaching. George Whitefield used to say, "You must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again." They say, "Why do you keep preaching on that verse? You must be born again." He says, "Because you must be born again." We've got to keep preaching it. That's what's needed today. The preaching of the Word of God. Get behind Matt and others when they're going out preaching the Word of God. And then too, there's going to be sudden destruction. When they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came, took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Sudden destruction. Well, let's look at Noah this morning. It says, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. It's a wonderful thing when a man or a woman has favor with God. Yes, God has no favorites, but God has intimates. Those who are prepared to thirst after Him, to hunger after Him. And a favor comes on their life. He was a righteous man. He was blameless. I'm praying that you'll have a blameless life as men today, as women today. Blameless. And then too, it says, Noah walked with God. He's a man in a dirty, filthy society. And men, we can do it. I proved it. When I went through Bible college, I said, I'm going back into the workplace. I went to work on power stations where I heard the worst of it all. But I wanted that to work out in my life. Noah walked with God. And men, you can do that wherever you are. Walk with God. Stand up for God. Don't have a wishbone for a backbone. Stand up for God. Don't be a mugwump with your mug on one side of the fence and your womp on the other. Stand up for God. Let's have men that are going to stand up for God today. Godly men. Noah walked with God. And men walk with God today. Let's have a look at his conversion. He came from a family of prophets. His great-great-grandfather, his grandfather, his father were all prophets. But he had to make his own decision. God only has children. God has no grandchildren. You've got to make your own personal decision for Christ. And I hope that every one of you have done that. Your husband may be a believer. Your wife may be a believer. But have you really stepped across the line? Have you really made that decision for the Lord Jesus Christ? And then there was his call.
God said, Noah, make an ark. If you want to look at this ark, just go to Ken Ham's ark on the internet. There in Kentucky, just look up Ark Kentucky, and then you'll see this incredible ark that he's built. It's about 3 football fields in length. Huge thing that they've got there, and they're using that as a powerful witnessing tool for the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was his call. And God may be calling some of you this morning. God's calling you. You've got to call. Listen, the 2 most important days of your life. 1, the day you were born. The 2nd most important day is to discover the reasons why you were born. What's the reason for your life? Why are you here? Why are you taking up space? Your life is filled with destiny, purpose, and meaning. Every one of us here today. And you've got to get down before the Lord and say, God, what is your purpose for my life? I want to be obedient to your call. His courage. They mocked him. They'd never seen rain. He's building an ark where no water is around. They would have mocked him. They would have put him down. Don't worry if they put you down. I heard about a guy carrying a sandwich board one time. On the front of the sandwich board, it says, I'm a fool for Christ's sake. And on the back of it, he says, whose fool are you? Okay. Don't worry if they knock you. Okay. Stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, too, there were his converts. His converts. Noah built an ark. Why? For the saving of his family. That's your priority. Your husband, the wife, the children. That's the area that we've got to work hard at in our lives. He prepared an ark. That's why it's important to bring them to church. Not just send your wife, send your husband. But come as a family. This is important. He prepared an ark for the saving of his family. Your kids have to see vibrant Christianity in action. Men, the greatest thing that you can do for your kids is to love their mother. So important that you sow that in your life. And then too, there was his conscience. His conscience was clear. He was a faithful proclaimer of God's word. His conscience was clear. And that's what we need today. A clear conscience, every opportunity that we have, whether it's with a track, whether it's a word of testimony, just make sure that our conscience is clear. But let's have a look at the ark that he built as we wrap it up this morning. And I want to compare and contrast it to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah, being warned about things yet not seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. So let me just look at this ark for a moment. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and Noah's ark for just a moment. There was a clear purpose. What was the purpose of the ark? It was to save his family from the flood. What's the purpose of the cross? It's to save us from eternal separation from God. That's the purpose of the cross. By grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. For all have sinned. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. That's why we need to come to the cross. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look, use that one verse. You can point people to Christ just using that one verse. If you work on that one verse, you can lead a person right through to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's to show that we won't be eternally separated from God because of our sin. If you've never been to the cross, if you've never had your sin forgiven, you've got to do it today. You've got to receive Christ, but you've got to repent of your sins and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. My sister was a beautiful girl. She contracted cancer. She was dying. The hair was falling out. She had this little skeletal frame. I went to visit there in the hospital. I said, oh God, if I could just take all of that cancer out of her body and put it into my body and put my life into her life. I couldn't do it. But listen, that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. He's taken all of that sin out of our lives that we heard about in communion this morning. He's taken all of that sin. into his own body. He became sin for us. Can you imagine the horror of that? A holy God taking on sin, taking the judgment, the penalty, the punishment in those hours of darkness when he screamed out those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? My God the Father, my God the Holy Spirit, why have you forsaken me? All alone, they're hanging on the cross. He took the separation that we deserved. And then to the cross is like Noah's Ark in its provision. He had stores for 375 days. Only 40 days and 40 nights in the ark, but they had plenty of provision. And when you come to the cross of Jesus Christ, there's plenty of provision in Calvary. There's blood enough. Heard it this morning, the blood that was put around the doorposts and the lintel there in Egypt, protected by the blood. When we come to the cross, we are protected by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's pardon enough for all of our sins. There's power enough for every one of us here today. There's grace enough. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's grace is grace enough for all of us in the cross. There's mercy enough to meet every single one of our needs. Oh, it is all supplied by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then to the cross is like Noah's Ark in its protection. Rain and the flood could not touch them. And we're protected. God's Calvary protects us from judgment and from hell. It's like you're walking across the street and you don't see a huge truck coming rolling down the road. It's coming straight for you. There's a young man behind you that sees what's happening and he pushes you out of the road, but he's knocked down in the meantime. He's giving his life for you. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. He's giving his life for you. We are protected. Every day we're protected. Put on the whole armor of God every day. Gird yourself with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Shoe your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. Suit up every day because we are fighting a battle. This is not a playground. It's a battlefield. It's not a cruise ship. It's a battleship. We're in the battle for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to realize that too. The cross is like Noah's Ark in its invitation. They weren't forced or commanded to get on the boat. That's the same thing. Jesus Christ will not force you, but you have to come willingly and give your life to him. The cross is like Noah's Ark in its entrance. Only one door for Noah, his family, and the animals. I did see a little cartoon recently of Noah standing on the ark. The door is open, and he says to all the animals, we're going to do this in alphabetical order. And here's two zebras standing there. Oh, no. But God brought the animals, and he's putting them all in the ark. But then, too, there's only one door of salvation. Only one door. Jesus Christ said, I am the door. You've got to come to him. He's the only way. If I want to fly, it'd be great when we start flying again. But if I believe I want to go to Sydney, we can go to Tasmania at the moment, but if I want to go to Sydney, I go and buy my ticket, order my ticket, and I go to the airport, but I'm not on the plane. I sit in a waiting area, but I'm not on the plane. I walk down the concourse, but I'm not on the plane. I don't get in the tunnel towards the door of the plane. Yes, I believe it can take me to Sydney, but I'm not on the plane. It's only when I come up to the aircraft, when I step through the door, that I'm on the plane. And I'm entrusting my life to the plane, to the pilot, to the crew. That's what it means to believe. That's what it means to entrust. Have you really, not just up here, the distance between heaven and hell is the distance between your head and your heart. He can be up here, but he's got to be here in your life. The cross of Christ is like Noah's Ark in its control. The Ark had no rudder, no pilot's wheel. They had to totally trust in God. And the cross is exactly the same way. Allow God to pilot your life. Don't you try to do it. You're just going to mess it up every time. Allow, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Allow God to guide you. Put your life wholly in His care. Allow Him to guide you in life. Don't try to do it yourself. You'll only mess it up every time. The cross is like Noah's Ark in its preservation. No one lost in the Ark. Christ has never lost a soul that has come to Him. 1 Peter 1:5. Through faith, we are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is already revealed in the last time. It's the same with Christ. He's never lost a soul. It says this, John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. They'll never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them or snatch them out of my hand. He's going to protect you. He's going to care for you. You're placed in the hand of Christ. God's hand is over that. God is there to protect you every day as you go through life. The cross of Christ and Noah's Ark is the same in its opportunity. God closed the door. God closed the door. And some would have been close. They put out the hand and the splotch of rain drops in their hand. Close, they pound on the door. Let us in, let us in. They can be miles away. They can be close. You can be close. I think of that soldier that drove that spear up into the stomach and the heart of Christ and ripped that out again. And out came blood and water showing he was truly dead. That soldier that day went home with blood on his spear. Blood on his uniform, maybe blood on his shoes, the sandals. He was treading underfoot the blood of Christ. You can be so close. You can come to a church like this. You can be so close. But you don't really know Christ personally in your life. Have you come to the cross? The difference between Christianity and all the religions of the world is this. It's man trying to reach up to God, straining to get up to God by their good works, their sincerity, and all the rest of it. It's man trying to reach up to God. But Christianity is God in the person of Jesus Christ reaching down to you and bringing you back to Himself. That's the difference between Christianity and all the religions of the world. But how does this affect us today? Jesus Christ is coming. How does it affect you and I today? Firstly, we are to watch. Keep looking. We may not be good lookers, but we can be good looking. Matt and I got the same problem. I used to have long, wavy hair. Now I've just got the beach. But we've got to be good lookers. Looking for the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to wait. Waiting for Him. We are to walk. Walk every day. Lord Jesus, are you coming today? Watch how you're walking every day. And we are to work. Work. Roll up your sleeves. Work for the cause of the kingdom. And then to wake up. Wake up. I think of those wise and foolish virgins. They're all asleep. And the world is asleep today. They don't really realize what's happening. What's happening with Putin? What's happening with Russia? What's happening in Europe? What's happening in the Middle East? They're oblivious to it all. We've got to wake up, but then the church is asleep like those wise virgins. The church is asleep today. Nobody's talking about Jesus Christ coming again. But that's so true. He's coming soon. And He wants us to be ready. Wake up. Not walk up. Wake up. It's so important today. So we need to get packed up, prayed up. We need to get ready to be picked up because He's coming soon. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We've got some of your words of comfort. We've got a message. a message of comfort. As Matt said, a message of peace. What a message, and a message of hope. In a hopeless world, this world's hoping for the best. But Jesus Christ is still the world's best hope. Do you know him? Do you really know him? Is he close to you today? Let's make sure of it right now. Would you bow with me in prayer? Bow with me in prayer. I want to ask you this question, and I want you to answer it before the Lord. Is Jesus Christ living in your heart? Do you know that this morning? Do you really know it? Do you know it personally? Say, Bill, I think so. I hope so. That's not good enough. You've got to be certain. And we can be. Jesus Christ is here right now. And he's waiting. He's waiting to come into our lives. He's knocking at our heart's door. He's saying, let me come in. You've been holding me out for too long. Look, let me come in right now. Let's invite Jesus Christ, the King of Glory, to come into our hearts and lives. It's a simple prayer. I'll pray it out loud, phrase by phrase. And as I pray this simple prayer, make this prayer your prayer. I'll pray it out loud. You follow me in your heart silently, but God will hear the prayers. The Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O God. God will know what you're even thinking. So as I pray this prayer, you pray the prayer with me. And on the authority of God's word, as you receive Christ, he says, I will come in. He's waiting to come in. Young people, children, men and women, just pray this. Let's make absolutely certain of it this morning. This is incredibly important that we're absolutely certain. So say this silently. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, today I come to you. I thank you that you love me. That you died on the cross and rose again. Lord, I've sinned against you. I'm sorry. But I turn from my sinfulness to you. And Lord Jesus, right now, I invite you to come into my life to be my Savior and my Lord. Help me to live for you day by day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving me the gift of eternal life. Now, we're bowed in prayer, and I believe that there are those who have prayed that prayer. It's wonderful this morning. But listen carefully. If the Lord were to come right now, at this moment, are you ready? Are you ready to look into his face? Are you ready to hear those words? Well done, you're a good and faithful servant. Are you ready? Say, well, Bill, yeah, there's things in my life that I need to get right. Look, right now, let's totally resurrender our life to the Lordship of Christ. Would you do that with me? And then, two, there are those here today say, Bill, I want God to call me. Whatever he wants me to do, I'm willing to do it. Where he calls me, I'm willing to go. I'm open to his leading today. And if you would say that to me, as men, as women today, I've heard people being called to some work that years ago they heard that God's call, but they put it off. But it hasn't left them. But God is calling you. He's got purpose. He's got meaning. He's got destiny for your life. Don't miss it. I'm going to ask that right now, right there where you are, brothers and sisters, that we re-surrender our lives to the Lordship of Christ. We've only got one brief moment of time to obey the Great Commission. This is our moment. And God may be calling you. Some of you men, he's going to be calling you to become a proclaimer of the gospel. He's going to be calling women today to become great women of God. And he's going to use you beyond your wildest dreams. You don't know what God can do in and through your life. If that life is totally given to God, he'll take you up and he'll use you. We heard it from Bobby this morning. He'll do the same for you. He loves you. He'll use you. He delights to take the weak things, the base things of this world to confound the wise. Not the smart, not the intelligent that are too clever for themselves. He's looking for hearts. And he's looking for your heart. And I'm going to ask you this morning to surrender your heart and life in a fresh and a new way. Maybe you've been on the way for years, but this is we need fresh oil this morning. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. We need a fresh touch from God right now. Let's ask him to give it to us right now. Just say this in your heart silently. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, in a new and fresh way today, I totally surrender my life to you. Wash me and cleanse me afresh in the blood of the Lamb. Fill me right now with your power and with your spirit. Lord Jesus, today I surrender my life completely to you. Now we're bowed in prayer. I believe that so many have prayed that prayer. I believe that God is going to take you up and use you. He could take a little boy with just little fish and bread, feed a multitude. Imagine what he can do with your life if you give everything to Christ. Oh, I'm going to ask that in a moment we stand. And you may have done this recently or sometime in the past, but I'm going to ask you to make a fresh commitment this morning. I'm going to ask that you'll be leaving or you'll be standing in a moment and just come down here and join me at the front. And resurrender your life to Christ, or if you prayed that first prayer, to make sure that you're in Christ's kingdom, that you've got the Holy Spirit in your life because you've received the living Christ. Oh, this is an important moment. And you'll feel the Spirit of God tugging at your heart. Look, God is here this morning. The Holy Spirit is here. And when God speaks to your heart, do what he's telling you to do. And God will bless you every step down to the front. Come down here. You can stand. You can kneel. Whatever you want to do. But you come right now and stand for Christ. Would you stand with me, please, all across the building this morning? We're standing in the presence.